بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. Continuing إخوان with the قراءة, and I was sitting with the book of Imam al-Bukhari, الأدب المفرد. We're still in the middle of discussing باب عقوق الوالدين, the chapter concerning عقوق الوالدين, or being disobedient to one's parents. In this session, we move on to another hadith. Imam al-Bukhari رحمه الله تعالى, he mentioned حدثنا محمد بن سلام قال أخبرنا جرير عن عبد الملك بن عمير عن وراد كاتب مغيرة بن شعبة قال كتب معاوية ابن إلى المغيرة اكتب إلي بما سمعت من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال وراد فأملى علي وكتبت بيدي إني سمعته ينهى عن كثرة السؤال وإضاءة المال وعن القيل والقال. He mentions with his isnad going back to Al-Mughira ibn Shu'ba radiallahu anhu, who said that indeed Muawiyah wrote to Al-Mughira saying, write to me what you heard from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what you heard from the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam. So Warrad, who was the scribe of Al-Mughira ibn Shu'ba, he said, so I amla alayya, so he narrated to me, he dictated to me, and I wrote with my hand. He said, inni sami'tuhu yanha an kathrati as-su'al wa ida'ati al-mal wa an qili wa qal. Indeed, I heard him prohibit kathrati as-su'al, excessive questioning, and I heard him prohibit wasting wealth, and I heard him prohibit al-qil wal-qal, that is gossip, he say, she say. Now, في هذا الحديث الشيخ أحمد أو الشيخ زيد mentioned, في هذا الحديث دليل على حرص أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن العلم الذي أوحاه الله إلى نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, فقد كان بعضهم يأخذ عن بعض ولا يمنعه شيء من حياء أو نهوه من أن يقنب من أخيه من العلم ما ليس عنده مشافهة أو كتابة أو نحو ذلك. He said that indeed this hadith has in it an evidence of the fact that the companions, they were ardent over knowledge, that which Allah Azza wa Jal had revealed to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So some of them would take from others, and they would not be prevented by shyness or its like in taking that which their brother had in knowledge from the things that they did not possess, either that they took it orally from them, or that they took it kitabatan, in written form. He said, وَهُمْ أُسْوَتُنَا, and they indeed are our example. لِأَنَّهُمْ اسْتَفَادُوا مِنْ نَصَائِحِ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم الَّذِي وَصَّاهُمْ بِطَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ وَهَمْلِ الْعِلْمِ وَنَسْلِهِ. He said, because of the fact that they have benefited from the advice of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet, who advised them to seek knowledge and to convey and carry knowledge and spread it. فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُ أَنْ يَحْمِلْ الْعِلْمِ أَحَدٌ وَيَنْشُرَهُ إِلَّا إِذَا طَلَبَهُ وَأَخَذَهُ عَنْ أَهْلِهِ بِجِدٍّ وَاجْتِهَادٍ وَرَغْبَةٍ وَاحْتِسَابٍ. He said, and it is not possible for a person to carry knowledge and to spread it, except that he has first sought it and taken it from its people by striving and exerting himself and by ardently desiring it and seeking the reward for that from Allah. وَبِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ النَّهِي عَنِ الْوُقُوعِ فِي ثَلَاثَةِ أُمُورِ As far as the hadith is concerned, we have a prohibition against falling into three affairs. We have in it prohibition against falling into three things. And we'll discuss the first of them in this session. The first amr, the first affair, is kathratu su'al. That is excessive questioning. He said, وَالْمُرَادُ بِالسُّؤَالِ أَلْمَنْهِ عَنْهُ مَا كَانَ فِي أَصْرِ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَأَصْرِ النُّبُوَّةِ Intent behind the question that is prohibited here is the question that occurred during the period and the era of prophethood. فالنهي عن السؤال عن الأشياء التي لم تحرم أو تحرم في الشريعة الإسلام بل مسكوت عنها فربما يسأل السائل عن الشيء مسكوت عنه فيحرم أو فيحرم من أجل سؤاله فيترتب على ذلك الإثم. He said that indeed the intent here then are those things that are prohibited, or those prohibited affairs that a person asks about during the period of prophethood, or those affairs that a person asks about during the period of prophethood while the revelation was still coming down, yani. And so the prohibition against asking questions and kathratu su'al, plentifully asking questions excessively, is that some of that which they are questioned about will not be made prohibited. Rather, they will remain in the realms of those things that have not been spoken about. فَرَبَّمَا يَسْأَلْ السَّائِلِ is possible the question that asks about something that was maskutun an, something that was left and was not spoken about, and so it is made haram because of his questioning. It is then made haram because of his questioning. He said, وَيَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَى ذَٰلِكَ الْإِثْمُ And so we have built upon that sin. And the one who does so, he's sinful, whether he realizes it or not. That is based upon the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Inna a'zama al-muslimin jurman man sa'ala an shay'in lam yuharram." Sa'ala an shay'in lam yuharram, faghurima min ajli mas'alati. Indeed, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the greatest of the Muslims in crime is the one who asks about something that was not made haram, and thus it becomes haram because of his excessive questioning. That was the case as it relates to the era of the Nubuwwah, the era of prophethood. وَمَا كَانَ فِي أَصْرِ النُّبُوَّةِ وَبَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَإِنَّ كَثْرَةُ السُّؤَالَ الْمَنْهِي عَنْهُ هُوَ سُؤَالَ التَّعَنُّتْ وَالتَّعْجِيزِ He said that in this hadith, and that's a reference to that which occurred during the time of prophethood. He said, as far as that which was after the period of prophethood, then the excessive questioning that is prohibited is that a person goes beyond bounds and enters or attempts to enter too deeply into affairs. He mentions ليظهر عجزهم وعدم قدرتهم عن الإجابة عن المسائل. Yeah, after discussing the fact that some people they ask tricky, intricate questions, they do so in order to make manifest the fact that such and such was unable to answer. And so they ask difficult, tricky questions to establish the fact that I asked the question and such and such was not able to answer. أو ربما تعلم شخص حكم مسألة من المسائل الشرعية وامتحن بها عالما من العلماء ليظهر عجزه وربما يبين السائل حكم المسألة. He mentioned here that it may be that an individual, he knows the ruling of an issue from the issues, but he wishes to test that alim with the knowledge that he has, in order to disprove the strength of the alim and prove that he's actually weak. He said, وَرَبَّمَا يُبَيِّنَ السَّائِلِ حُكْمَ الْمَسْأَلَةِ هُوَ بِذَاتِهِ فَيَظْهَى الْفَضْلُهُ عَلَى الْمُعَلِّمِ. He said, it's possible that when he asks a question, he himself then goes on to explain the issue, and he goes on to prove that he understands it and mention its ruling and so on, in order to show that he was more virtuous in this issue than that alim. And this is something that happens, Ikhwan. He said, وَهَذَا إِثْمُهُ عَظِيمٌ. The sin of this individual is great. لِمَا فِيهِ مِنْ عَدَمِ إِحْتِرَامِ الْعُلَمَا. Because of the fact that he hasn't honored the ulama. And this in essence is a disrespect of the ulama, of that alim. وَلِمَا فِيهِ مِنَ الْعَبْثِ. من العبث لأنه سؤال تنطع وتجهيز تعجيز وما كان يفعله في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا اليهود. He said that indeed this is not permissible. This trait, this affair is not permissible because it has in it disrespect and dishonoring the ulama. And it is likewise haram because of the fact that in it is abath. In it, there are games, and it is folly to carry out such things. Now, he said, and that which occurred at the time of the Prophet ﷺ is that the Yahud used to do so. The Yahud, they used to ask the Messenger of Allah questions in order to try and catch him out and in order to try and deceive him and trick him. He mentions Allah Azza wa Jal says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ قُلِ الْرُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. They ask you about the ruh, about the soul. Say, the soul is from the affair of my Lord. The soul is from the affair of my Lord. ذلك أنه لما كانت كلمة الروح يعرف عنها اليهود أو يعرف عنها اليهود أنها تطلق ويراد عنها. He said that indeed it was in terms of the statement here of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which is related to what used to occur at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, this was something that was not done except in this method of asking and dishonoring the people of knowledge, and then asking questions that are not befitting to that alim. And this is just something that was done by the Yahud. It was something that was done by the Yahud and those who ally with them from among the Kuffar. He said, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ. Statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ. They ask you about the ruh. Say, the ruh is from the affair of my Lord. The ruh, or the soul, it is from the affair of my Lord. ذَلِكَ أَنَّهُ لَمَّا كَانَتْ كَلِمَةُ الْرُوحِ يُعْرَفْ in the Yahud, أنها تطلق ويراد بها أكثر. So it is clear that the term ruh is used, and that which is intended by way of it is more than one meaning. Now, he said, سألوا عنها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أو عزو إلى إلى نفر من الكفار ليسأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عنها. He mentions that indeed
the affair was that the Yahuda used to approach the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would ask him certain questions. And then here, the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would respond to some of them. And Kathir mentions, أوزعوا إلى نفر من اليهود ليسأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عنها. That they went to a man, the Yahud, concerning this issue of the ruh and the soul. They went to a man from the kuffar, and from the people of the book, and that which is apparent, in order to ask concerning it. قالوا بأي واحدة أجاب عنها نقول لا المقصود كذا يعني ليظهر عجز النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. They said, whatever question we pose to you, we're going to say لا. We're going to say no. And that is in order to show and or to attempt to dishonor and to disrespect the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, to prove that he was below them. That was the intent. Now, and so here we then continue with the statement of Imam Ibn Kathir. وَتُطْلَقْ وَيُرَادُ بِهَا أَرْوَاحِ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ. That the term is used absolutely, and what is intended by it are the souls of the masakeen. What is intended by it the souls of the arwah of the makhluqeen, of the creation. Just as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned concerning those who have passed away from Bani Adam, when they are placed in their grave, فَيُعَادُ إِلَيْهِ رُوحًا. He said, when they are placed in their grave, their soul is returned to them. So the term soul is actually sometimes used to refer to the human soul. Sometimes the term ruh, soul, is used and it is a reference to the Qur'an. As is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. Allah mentioned, and thus do we reveal to you رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا, a soul from our affair. And this here is a reference to the Qur'an. It's a reference to the book of Allah subhanahu. فَغَرَضَهُمْ مِّنْ هَذَا السُّؤَالِ أَنَّهُمْ إِذَا أَنْ إِنْ أَجَابُوا هِذِ الثَّلَاثِ قَالُوا لَا نُرِيدُ هَذَا نُرِيدُ غَيْرْ هَذَا. لِذَا لَا يَجُوزُ إِمْتِحَانَ الْعُلَمَى بأسئلة قد تدعو الحاجة إليها. وربما يكون الغرض منها إظهار الحق العالم عن بعض المسائل العلم, فقد يكون مرة ثانية, وربما يكون الغرض منها إظهار العجز أو إظهار عجز العالم عن بعد مسائل العلم. فمن قل نسيبه من العلم واحترام العلماء يزهد في العالم بعد ذلك. كذلك السؤال الذي لا فائدة من ورائه لا يجوز أن يوجه للعلماء. You mentioned here that this term then is one that returns back to the intent of the individual. Meaning, what was the intent of the individual? He mentions, he mentions that when the intent, that, or perhaps the intent of the individual, is to prove that the alim was weak in this issue of ilm, in this area of knowledge, his questioning was to disprove the alim, to prove that he's weak. فَمَنْ قَلَّ نَسِيبُهُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ وَاحْتِرَامَ الْعُلَمَاءِ وَيَزْهَدُ فِي الْعَالِمِ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ وَكَذَلِكَ السُّؤَالَ الَّذِي لَا فَائِدَةً وَرَائِهِ. And so we have then the fact that the issue here, as it relates to the one who has little knowledge. He said the one who has little knowledge, مَنْ قَلَّ نَسِيبُهُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ, the one who has been given a small portion as it relates to knowledge and of ihtiram, of respecting the ulama, then we will find that as the Imam here mentions, يَزْهَدُ فِي الْعَالَمِ عَالِمِ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ كَذَلِكَ السُّؤَالَ الَّذِي لَا فَائِدَةً وَرَائِهِ. He mentions that the belly, as it relates here, he said that there is sometimes one will ask a question, but there is no fa'idah, there is no benefit behind that question. وَلَا يَجُوزَ أَن يُوَجَّحَ لِلْعُلَمَاءِ, and it is not permissible for a person to direct that question to the ulama, because there is no real benefit that is to be taken from it. There is no real benefit that is to be taken from it. And so he mentions, فَمَا بَقْيَ إِلَّا مَا وَجَبَ السُّؤَالْ عَنْهُ وَمَا جَازَ السُّؤَالْ عَنْهُ. He said, so that which remains is that which is either compulsory that we ask about, or what is permissible for us to ask about. But as far as the question, that the person who asks it, he asks not in order to bring about benefit, but just to dishonor the alim and to prove that he is weak. The other type of question, the one that is either wajib, an issue that is wajib or an issue that is permissible, he said that the one that is wajib, and that is the question about the affair of the deen, whether it's usul or it's furu, whether it's usul or it's furu, many of the fundamentals of the religion or the subsidiary issues or the rights of the religion and the fara'id and the wajibat and the mustahabbat and the muharramat and the makruhat, those things that are wajib, compulsory, desirable, and disliked, or haram. وَهَذَا يَجِبُ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَن يَسْأَلُوا عَنْهُ الْعُلَمَاءَ. It is compulsory for the Muslims to ask the ulama concerning this. وَأَن يَتَذَاكَرُوا دَائِمًا وَأَبَدًا, and that they constantly remind each other concerning that, and research into these mawdu'at and into these topics. فَالسُّعَالُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ وَاجِبْ, so to ask about that is wajib. He said, وَسُؤَالُ عَنِ الْمُضَاحَاتِ وَعَنْ مَا هُوَ مِنْ فُرُودِ الْكِفَايَاتِ جَائِزٌ لِلْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يَسْأَلَ عَنْهَا الْعَالِمِ بِحَسَبِ نِيَّةِ. But if a person were to ask, for example, about the things that are permissible, or about the things that are فَرَضُ الْكِفَايَةِ, and it is only wajib upon some people, then it is permissible to ask the alim about that, dependent upon the niyyah of the questioner. لأجل إظهار العلم والاستفادة من العلماء وتدوين مسائل العلم. In order to make علم and knowledge apparent and benefit from the ulama, and to compile the issues of knowledge for the person, لمن يعيش بين أظهرهم, for those who live among them and they live among, وَلِمَنْ سَيَأْتِي بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ, and those who will come afterwards, individuals who will follow them. كَمَا يَطَيْكَتِ الْعُلَمَاءَ الَّذِينَ صَنَّفُوا الْمُصَنَّفَاتِ, which is the path of the ulama, the ones who authored those great books. وَقَدْ يَفْرِضُ بَعْدَ الْمَسَائِلِ فَرْضًا بِحَيْثُ لَوْ نَشَأَتْ يَكُونُ قَدْ سَبَقَتْ لَهَا الْحُلُولِ كما هي طريقة الفقهاء في فروع المسائل والأحكام. وكم من فوائد عظيمة في المؤلفات التي ألفها العلماء في فروع المسائل وفي أصول المسائل، فهذا التفسير ينبغي أن يعرفه أو ينبغي أن يعرف من السؤال. He mentions the fact that it is an affair that returns back to tawfiq, an affair that returns back to a person asking those questions related to those issues that are compulsory in the religion, and that a person is nurtured upon that. And this is the path of the fuqaha. As it relates to the subsidiary issues of the religion, this was how they developed and how they grew. وَكَمْ مِنْ فَوَائِدٍ عَظِيمًا فِي الْمُؤَلَّفَاتِ الَّتِي أَلَّفَهَا الْعُلَمَةِ. And how many great benefits are present within the mu'allafat and the authorships of our ulama in the subsidiary affairs of the religion, وَفِي أُصُولِ الْمَسَائِلِ, and in the أُصُولِ الْمَسَائِلِ, the fundamental issues of the deen. وهذا التفصيل ينبغي أن يعرف من السؤال. He said, in this detail here, it is befitting that a person is acquainted with it. This tafsir, it is important that a person is acquainted with this detail that we've mentioned here. Now, so that is the first issue related to the hadith, and that is kathratu su'al. That is, the Messenger of Allah prohibiting a person from asking plentiful questions and from excessive questioning. And no doubt the tafsir of the Shaykh is jameel jiddan, and the important tafsir and important detail related to this first issue. And we'll discuss the rest of the issues in tomorrow's session and what follows. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.